The other beliefs I call rules. And rules are the ones where we use if-then. If I this, then it will mean that. And the reason I call them rules is that's what they are. They help you to guide your decisions. If-then. They're cause-effect belief systems. If I do this cause, then it will mean that. And that's the only reason somebody buys something anyway, isn't it? I mean, think about it. People buy simply because they want to get something emotionally. And so the question that's going on in their mind is, what is this going to mean to me? And I mentioned this before, and I'll mention again, there's usually four or five questions about meaning that customers are asking. And what they feel, their belief or their feeling of certainty about the answers to these four or five questions really will determine usually whether they'll buy or not. Number one belief they have to buy, they must believe absolutely that you have their best interests in mind. If they have any sense at all that you really don't care 100% about them, you're going to have a problem. No matter what you try and do, you're probably not going to be able to close the sale. Or even if you do, they're going to call back 15 minutes later and leave a message saying, what? I changed my mind. So we're going to make sure that in the 10 steps to sales mastery, you absolutely can answer that question where they believe it, where they feel certain that you really do care. And by the way, the only way you're going to convince them of that is if you really do. So I'm assuming that you've got that kind of integrity to start with. Number two question that people are going to ask is, what will this product mean to me? Will it really give me what I want? Now, here's where most salespeople fall out again, right? What do? They sell what they want the client to have, what they would want in their life. So they're an adventure person, and they go, boy, I'll tell you one thing. You take this trip around the world, you have the adventure of your life. Instead of finding out what they want, which maybe for them is connection, and they can say, being around the world, connecting with people of all kinds of cultures, it just makes you feel incredible inside. That's different. So you've got to make sure you answer the question that where they feel, where they believe, they absolutely believe, they feel certain, that's what a belief is, they feel certain that buying your product will mean having their needs filled, having their wants filled. The want of pain they don't want to have anymore and the want of pleasure that they now want to have as well. Because remember, you found out their wants, you stirred them up, made them hurt, and now you got to make sure they feel certain that by buying the product, it will mean the pain will go away and pleasure will be here. Number three, third key belief they've got to have is an answer to a question again. Third one that they're going to be asking is, well, is it worth it to me? Is it worth it? In other words, they'll start weighing, okay, yeah, it could mean to me pleasure and all those things, but what am I going to have to give up? Money, time, maybe some inconvenience while they install the new system in my company. Maybe I have to tell the other salesman I've been dealing with that I'm going to a new company and I'm not going to deal with him anymore. Do you know that's an objection sometimes, a hidden objection? They know your product is better. They know it'll give them more pleasure, but having to tell a guy they've been dealing with they're not going to use him anymore sometimes is enough to get them to not buy your product. So you got to be able to get them to believe that the negative consequences of buying, meaning the inconvenience, the capital, the time, the energy, the installation, is not anywhere near as important as the benefits they're going to have now. So you got to believe it's worth it. And the way you do that, of course, is you make them hurt. You make them hurt even more. I'll give you a classic example. If I'm dealing with a customer, and the customer says, you know, Tony, I'll tell you what, I really do. I agree with you. It's really incredible. But we've been dealing with this other company forever, and you know, you're a nice guy, but I just don't want to change. I don't argue with him, because what does he establish for me? A very strong what? Belief and motive, but a belief. He feels certain that he should not change. So I don't want to fight him. I want to agree with him. I'll say, listen, I really envy your supplier. I mean, he obviously is in the kind of relationship with you that I'd like to have, that anybody would like to have. And he must be doing a darn good job. Do you mind if I just ask you two questions? Well, no. What are the three things he's doing that really make you feel that way? What are the three of the best things he's doing for you? Well, guess what? He'll be happy to answer that. Well, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's doing that. Great. Now, you're saying, Tony, what you're doing is building up the other guy. Well, yes, I will never attack the competition, and I will never attack somebody he feels good about. That would be stupid. That would be going totally against his beliefs. Plus, I don't think it has integrity based on my beliefs and values. In addition, though, now that he's done all this, all I've done is I've aligned with him. I'm agreeing with him. We're on the same side. Now, what would I say? He's saying I've got no need. I'd say, well, what are three things that could be done better? Ah. Now he starts to say, well, what are three things that really could be improved upon, do you think? He starts to think. Now, that's a question he probably not asked. He now has to search his memory and look at things a new way. I'm getting him to refocus. He goes in there and searches around. He goes, well, we really should improve and need to improve on this with our supplier. And, well, there's this other thing, and there's this other one. What will my response be? I'll agree with him. I say, yeah, you're right. I mean, I can imagine all the consequences that must come from that not happening. What am I doing right now? I'm stirring up the what? Hurt. I'm disturbing the prospect. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, God, that's really too bad. I know he's doing a great job on those, but those things, man, if those continue to be left out, what will that mean to your company long term? And now the guy starts going, well, and what am I doing? I am creating a new what? Belief. And the way I'm creating a new belief is I'm asking questions, and I'm saying, God, not having this, what will that mean? That sounds like it would cost you this and cost you this. It'll create this pain, that pain, this pain, that pain. Pretty soon, this will mean pain. I finally get him the link that if he doesn't change, it'll mean what? More pain than pleasure. Remember what I told you? That if someone is going to buy, they must associate or link in their mind tremendous want. That is, they got to associate buying to being giving them tremendous pleasure and not buying to being painful. You've got to be building both of those if you want to be a professional salesperson, not just somebody who tries to pump people up and get the few people that just do things because they're excited or do things because they're motivated. You've got to motivate them from both levels, the carrot and the stick. But you've got to do it elegantly. You've got to do it respectfully. And by the way, have I manipulated him? Have I made something up here? Have I done a bunch of closes? No, what I've done here is I have respected this man 100%. And I've helped him as a businessman to discover a problem. And that's what selling is, finding a problem and then solving it. Getting someone to notice a hurt that maybe they weren't paying attention to, maybe the hurt was kind of hidden, and then healing it for them. That's what you and I do if we're professionals. So that's part of giving them a belief that, hey, if they don't buy, there's going to be pain. That's how you motivate somebody. There'll be pleasure by buying, and there'll be pain by not buying. Now I've got a prospect that's willing to listen, and now I may begin to change his belief. So the answer to his question of, well, will it be worth it? My answer is, what will the price be if you don't change? Oh, do you even have a choice? Can you honestly look at the situation and allow that to continue to happen and be an effective and intelligent businessman? You see the power of this. So that's a third question. A fourth question that people are going to ask, and it's an important question too. The question that people are asking is, well, what will other people think? What will they say? In other words, what will my buying this mean to my relationships with other people? And so let's say a gentleman is out shopping and he sees this particular car and he gets real excited about it. Or a lady's out shopping and she sees a beautiful outfit and she would love it. And she wants to get it. The want is really high, isn't it? She just really wants it, or he really wants the car. And what happens? By the way, it could be the other way. She's buying the car and he's buying a suit. But the bottom line is that either way, whether or not the person will do it is, have they answered the question, how will other people respond? In other words, if that man thinks that he buys that car and comes home with it, his wife is going to be unbelievably upset. He's going to have lots of pain. It's not going to be worth the slight bit of pleasure of buying. Does that make sense? Or the opposite. The woman does a situation. She says, God, I want the dress, but, you know, things are tight and everything else. Can't really justify it because he'll get upset. Or a man in an office and you're trying to sell him a new computer system, a new copying system, a new telecommunication system. And that man or that woman that you're trying to market to, sure enough, you're talking to her and she's the general manager and she certainly can make the decision, can't she? Or she's the vice president. But there's a problem. And that is, no matter who that person is, they're still thinking, well, God, you know, how will it affect other people? Now, some people have the belief it doesn't matter. What other people think doesn't matter, so they'll just do it anyway. But a large number of people want to believe that by doing this, people will still feel good about them. And that affects their decision making. So you need to make sure that in your sales presentation, you answer that question. Boy, by doing this, think about how it's going to impact your family. Or by doing this, think about your company at first. They might think it's a little weird, or they might think, you know, God, why are they bringing a new system in? But what will they feel about it long term, do you think? Don't tell them, ask them. See, if you tell somebody, they then have to evaluate, is that true? If they tell you, then it is true. So ask questions and lead people there. And I guess the last question that people are asking on an ongoing basis, and these aren't the only ones, but these are ones that at least pop in my head when I'm thinking about questions I want to answer in advance. And that last question, I guess, would be for me, would be, not only is it worth it, not only am I in a situation where I trust the person, meaning I'm thinking about how I buy. I trust the salesperson. I know that it's going to be worth the hassle and everything else. I know that people are going to feel good about it around me. I know it's going to really meet my needs. I guess the last thing for me I'd look at is, well, do I really need it now? And that's pretty important. That's why I created these two little funny little words, urban and lurban. Because I didn't say just find an emotional reason for people to buy. Urban is E-R-B-N. an emotional reason to buy now. Lurbin, L-R-B-N, is a logical reason to buy now. So I want you to remember this. If a prospect does not have a reason to buy now, they won't. They won't. If they don't have an emotional reason to buy now, it'll probably be more accurate. They won't. In other words, if they don't have a big enough want, they're not going to follow through. So you got to make sure they have enough emotional reasons to buy now and just enough logic for them to justify it. Just enough logical reasons that now is a reason. There's a reason to buy now. If you don't do that, if they don't believe that they really need to do it now, or if they don't believe they really want it now strongly enough, they're going to have a hard time justifying buying. Now, do these five make sense to you? So we're going to talk later on about how to prepare. But I want you to remember these. Every time you go in with a customer, think, I've got to get them to believe that, hey, I care. I get where they feel certain I care, and I'm not here to manipulate them. I'm not here to take advantage. And if I can't meet their needs, I really will leave. I'll ask for referrals, because that's what I do. But I'm not going to try and push something on them that they don't really need. Guy, when a person believes that, you can't believe how many objections get handled immediately. You don't have to have all those closes back here to come back and nail them with, because most of those objections don't come up because they trust you. You also want to make sure, okay, they believe that there's really something here for them, that there's a benefit here for them that's really worth it, and that not getting it would be painful. So they got to believe it's really going to do what you say. So you got to make sure, how am I going to make sure they believe that? What are the ways that I can get them to feel certain about that? Third, you got to be thinking to yourself, okay, how am I going to make sure that they know it's worth it in terms of the effort, the money, or whatever else? And I will tell you this. The number one way that you convince someone of anything is by you being convinced. You cannot influence another human being unless you've been influenced. I love salespeople who say, God, I've got the greatest product in the world, and they're selling this particular product, and you go to their home, and they don't use it. I mean, and they wonder why they don't have great sales. Or somebody says, well, I really love our product, but I haven't bought it myself yet, but I'm going to buy it. See, if someone comes to work with me, one of the requirements is they've got to purchase all the things that we have. Because when I went to work in the personal development business, I went to work for a man named Jim Rohn, great personal development speaker, incredible man. And to join him, they said, great, you can join. It was so easy. I said, wow. I mean, I tried to sell them and stuff. They said, we want you. All you got to do is buy this and this and this, and it's all these products, which at the time was like $1,200, I think, was the initial payload. Now you got to picture me, a 17-year-old kid who was just out on his own, sleeping in his car, and they wanted $1,200. I got a little upset. I thought, they just want something from me. But you know what? They were brilliant. Because one, it took people who were committed to make that investment. And two, by my having to go out and figure out how to come up with $1,200 when my car cost $900 and I was sleeping in it literally. I was just out on my own, parked at 7-Eleven. For me to do that and go through that experience was incredible. It made me so strong in my ability to convince other people. When I sat down and said, I don't have the money, I go, that's no problem. And I meant it. Because I said, look, I'm 17. I went to bank after bank after bank. I wasn't even legal, and I finally convinced somebody to loan me the money to go do this. So I know you can get it at 35 with some credit. Even if you have lousy credit. And people could not tell me they couldn't do it. Because I was so, what's the key word? Certain. I was so convinced. And as a result, when I went into this man's company, every human being I saw for the first month, every single person bought everything. Everyone. Because I felt so certain about the value they get. Because for me, buying for me meant it would transform the quality of their life. That's what it meant. And so no matter what they said, if they said, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I really don't think it's worth it, I'd say, look, I can't leave until you buy because I know that if I leave, you're being cheated. And I believe that so strongly in my gut, nobody could say no. Now, some of them didn't get the money and their checks bounced because when I left, some of them were less certain than I was, but most of them did, and I became Wonder Boy in that organization until certain things happened in the organization that made me not feel as good about the organization. Now, I'm responsible for that, but at the time I didn't know that. I said, well, the product's not perfect. I started looking at the product and saying, well, God, you know, there's certain things about that aren't so great, and you know, this guy says this, but sometimes I see him doing that, and I started picking things apart, and you know what? I didn't feel as certain, and I lost my power to persuade at that level. I was still good, but I was nowhere near as good as a person who no one could stop. If you believe strongly enough, if you care strongly enough, if you're impeccable in your level of certainty, I'm here to tell you that there are very few people who can escape your grasp, even if you don't know any closes, because the strongest close in the world is your feelings. You've got to understand, selling is a transference of emotion, and that only comes, you can't give something to somebody that you don't already have. So you've got to build those five questions I told you about. You've got to build those into yourself before you start. You've got to believe those at such a deep level about the customer that you know, no matter what objection they get up, it's like it bounces off of you. You still keep charging, you know. You're here to make sure you give this to them. And if you're coming from that place, you can't believe what will happen to your selling.